Good morning and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church on this beautiful spring morning. Blue bonnets are around and everywhere. Hope you got to see blue bonnets. But we want to welcome you here. Perhaps you're visiting with us today, and in the bulletin at the back is a little tab. We'd like you to tear that off and fill it out if you're visiting with us so we can have a record of you being here. We're just so glad to be here to worship the Lord and pray and hear His word today. But a couple of things you need to know about. Most of it's in your bulletin, but by way of emphasis, Bible study and prayer meeting will begin again on Wednesday coming up at 6:30. The precept semester is finished, so we're going to resume Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time, 6:30. Men's Bible study is tomorrow night in the pastor's office at 6:30. And then later this month, a couple of weekends from now, on the 29th, work day here at the church, just for the morning, come up and help spruce things up and do a little bit of things around the church to make this place greater for the Lord. We want to say thank you for your contributions to the Mentors Care. Met the need for the last 6 weeks of the school semester. But like somebody, if you want to give year-round, you can even give through the summer and mark it for Mentors Care, and so we can sort of build up that account so that when we get ready for the fall, that money will be there to help those kids. Where's Houston? Houston, stand up. You don't have to come up front, but I want you to stand up. Houston, as you know, has been with us for quite a while, and he is helping us in the sound booth and been quite active here. This week, he participated in the district championships of tennis, and he is the district tennis champion for the junior varsity. So we're really proud of you. Proud of you for that, Houston. And you're good looking too. So one last note. We're thinking about printing up some t-shirts, especially as some events come up for our church, and it'll be a Calvary Baptist Church t-shirt. If you're interested in Jamie Haver about that, and we're going to try to organize a nice t-shirt that we can buy and wear on special events for our church. Okay, well, let's stand together, worship Him in song, and to hear about His word and learn from Him this morning. So stand as we pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for this glorious and beautiful Sunday morning. We know that every day is beautiful, but today, Lord, we just especially thank You for the flowers in bloom and the sunshine and the good weather. Be with us today as we worship You in song. We praise You, Lord, for these who lead us in this music as we enter into Your courthouse with singing and praise and thanksgiving. Be with Chad as he brings Your word today. Help it to be applied to our hearts like a balm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand.
Pray with me. Father, we do thank you for the great things that you have done in all of our lives. And we acknowledge that nothing is greater than sending your Son to die for us. And Father, we thank you for allowing us into your presence as we worship you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. For you will love one and hate the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money at the same time." As we start a new series this morning, we're going to be looking at how money applies to our lives. This is not a series about tithing. This is about the subject that Jesus preached and taught on more than any other subject. And that is how we use money to worship Him, and let's continue to do that.
His name is wonderful. Jonah 1:9 says, I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land.
Pray with me as our men come to receive our offering. Father, we thank you that there is none like you. And Father, you have blessed us beyond measure. I pray that as an offering of sacrifice we bring to you and you use it to your good and your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Pray with me. Father, we pause before you. And I ask that you clear our minds, clear our thoughts, let the distractions of this world be left aside for a few moments as we study your word. Father, draw us close to you. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear, that we may know more about you and be more of what you want us to be. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to introduce you to somebody or something that has lived at my house for longer than I know. This is Larry. I even have a photograph for you. I don't know if you can see it. Larry's. This is at Mount Rushmore. Larry made the trip. He belongs to Grant, and he lives in my garage. He's been around for probably 15 years or better. I'll tell you, though, the one thing that we don't do and we will never do, and that is worship Larry. You know, all over the world today, there are statues that are as meaningless as this that people are worshiping. And it's mind-boggling to us, isn't it? How anybody could pray to something like this, or believe in something like this, or even thought that this has any kind of meaning. That's so foreign to us, we can't even wrap our heads around it, especially in this country. But I'll tell you, the bigger problem for us and in this country is not statues like Larry. It's money. We live in a country that worships money. And when you say it like that, it almost takes you aback. But this country worships money. And people who would never bow down to something as silly as Larry will put this pig on a pedestal and worship it and chase it and desire it more than anything. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the subject that Jesus taught more about and how money should be viewed in our relationship with Christ. What should be the meaning for us? Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because money has a place in our life, but we want to make sure it's the place that God wants it to have. And especially living in a society that values money more than anything. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by their foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and some people craving money have wandered from true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. That's truth. There's a verse 10 that really, I can't, it's so incredibly important, and yet I think we graze over it. But do you let sink in the fact the love of money is the root of all evil? Not some, but all evil. And it doesn't say that money is evil. You catch that? Nowhere in there does it say money is evil. It says the love of money. Because the love of money will determine your priorities. How tightly you hold on to it. So if, for some people, money is like a silly little statue that they worship, and that's all they think about. I got to get more. And you know what they say when you get a little bit of money? You want more. The statistic that just mind boggles me, and I don't know why it does, but have you ever heard that 90% of people who win the lottery are broke within 5 years of doing it? That's mind-boggling to me. But you know why? Because their money is not in the right perspective. And they're chasing money. And then when they get it, what happens? But people who long to be rich fall into temptation. Because what happens is we get our priorities crossed and we start focusing more on money than on God. We're going to, over the next few weeks, study how we should, what place money has in our lives. And the basis of it is from John Wesley, Mr. Methodist. We're going to be Methodist for a few weeks. Okay? Listen to this. His motto was, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. Let that sink in. Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. We're going to start to dissect that, and the first place is earning, because we should earn all we can. Let that just resonate with you for a minute. There's nothing wrong with having money. Right? And we should earn all we can. But there's some parameters to keep this in the right perspective for us. The first one, I'm going to give you 3 points about this and how to keep earning in the right perspective. With the focus on earn all you can. Number one, earn all you can without sacrificing honesty and integrity. Earn all you can without sacrificing honesty and integrity. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. This is a lesson that my grandfather taught me over and over and over again. And it really applies to money as well as so many other things. Chapter 8, verse 21. For we are taking great pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but in the eyes of man. To do what is right. My grandfather always said, do what is right, no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost, do what is right. So many times, we're tempted to look at the cost before we do what's right. A case study, which I find fascinating in business ethics today, is the story of the Ford Pinto. And y'all all laugh. Anybody have one? Would admit it? You know why this is the classic case of business ethics, and a lot of you probably know this. The Pinto had a design problem. Okay? Y'all know when it got hit from the rear, it would explode because of the design problems and burst into flames. Did you know that Ford knew this? They knew this, and the accountants came to the conclusion that it was cheaper to pay the lawsuits than to fix the problem. Look it up. I'm telling you the truth. They came to the place where they said it's going to be cheaper just to pay the lawsuits of the people who get killed and injured than it will be to fix this problem. Wow. It's a classic case in business ethics today. Here's the thing for us. Don't look at the cost when deciding what to do. Do what is right. And when it comes to earning money, if you start focusing on money, you're going to lose sight of doing what's right, and you will fall into temptation. So no matter what, do what is right. The second thing, earn all you can without paying more than it's worth. Earn all you can without paying more than it's worth. What does that mean? I have never, ever seen anybody on their deathbed saying, "I wished I had worked more." Right? As we get closer to the grave than the cradle, you start to look back and you will start to say things of, "I wished I had done this. I wished I had paid more attention to that." Rarely do you ever hear anybody say, "I wished I had worked more. I wished I had focused more on money." Because we live in a country where workaholism is looked at as a mark of achievement. Work more, work more, work more, so you can earn more money. And, you know, Misty and I drove through, it's been a number of years ago, we drove through a new neighborhood. And y'all see some of the houses they're building today? It blows my mind. It's like E.V. Hill, the famous preacher, used to say. He had, I think, 12 building campaigns to build a new sanctuary. And every time they got enough money to build a new sanctuary, he would go take it and give it to the poor or open up a soup kitchen or something else. And he just kept going. And he said one time, "Y'all are building stuff like the rapture ain't going to happen." Some of these houses, oh my gosh. We were riding through a neighborhood, brand new houses, it's been a long time ago. These huge, enormous houses. And it was night, and so you could see inside. And house after house after house had no furniture in it. Right? Because all they could afford was the house. But I got to get the address. I got to get the house. And then they're not there because they're trying to pay for the house. And there's no furniture in it. But we have this house. Look at us. We have this house. We have this pig. And you're paying more than it's worth. And the things that matter go by the wayside. And somewhere along the way, we lose sight of the fact that, you know, in Genesis 2, chapter 2, God rested. He wasn't working all the time. And the reason that we should be earning all we can is we were designed to work. That's what we were made for. Work and worship God. And we worship God with our work. And the thing is, we have to keep it in right perspective. Because this is not what we're working for. You realize that? This is not it. The last thing, earn all you can, but not at the expense of your neighbor. Now, who's your neighbor? Everybody. Everybody's your neighbor. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25. God commanded us to love our neighbors. And if you love somebody, you can't cheat them. And so our neighbors are more important than our piggy banks. Chapter 25, verse 13. This is out of the laws of the time. You must use accurate scales when weighing out merchandise. You must use full and honest measures. Yes, always use honest weights and measures so that you may enjoy a long life in the land of your Lord God is giving you. All who cheat with dishonest weights and measures are distasteful to the Lord your God. Now, what does that mean? In this day, they would use weights to measure out merchandise, mostly wheats and grains. And you know, the merchant would tip the scales a little bit so that if somebody came in to buy a pound, they might really get 3/4 of the pound because the weights weren't honest. They were dishonest in their business. And what we are told as people of God is to be honest. Be honest in everything we do, especially when it comes to money. But don't cheat our neighbors. Earn all we can, but be honest in doing it. We live in a world and a society that will cheat anybody to get more money. There are industries all over this country that have one goal, one focus, and that's making money. And they will disguise it in the ways of business. The one that comes to my mind immediately is the pharmaceutical business in this country. Some of the things that my wife tells me makes my head explode over medicine that costs pennies and gets sold for thousands of dollars. God tells us to be honest. There are times when we have opportunity to put more money in the piggy bank, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it because of what we pay because of it. An interesting story. In 1888, Alfred Nobel woke up one morning and read his obituary. Have you heard this story? The obituary read, "The merchant of death is dead." Alfred Nobel, if you don't know, invented dynamite. And it was actually his brother who had died. But they got the story wrong. And when he read that title above his obituary because he was the inventor of dynamite, and it read, "The Merchant of Death is Dead." It had the most profound effect on him because he did not want his legacy to be something of death and war. And he wanted his legacy to be peace. Ever heard of a Nobel Prize? I bet you've heard more about a Nobel Prize than you have about the man who it's named for invented dynamite. He wanted his legacy to be something more. So my question for us in how we earn money and put it in our piggy bank is, what's our legacy? When people see us coming, do they say they're honest, they're generous? You know, in the restaurant industry, the worst day to work as a waitress or waiter? Sunday. Sunday. You know why? Because Christians are cheap. That's the complete opposite of what we're supposed to be. This can't be our legacy. Our legacy has to be in the right perspective of being generous, because it's not ours. Look with me at Philippians chapter 4, and then I'm going to quit preaching today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. How content are you? Because I can promise you that our contentment almost always is determined by this. Not that I was ever in need, but for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live with almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty one, with plenty or little. Verse 13. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. God desires that in terms of our money, that we remember it's His. It's not ours. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for blessing us and allowing us to live and be a part of a country that You have blessed like none other. And we are so rich that most people in this world can't even imagine the life that we live. Father, my prayer for us is that we keep in perspective the things that matter and the things that don't, and that we stay focused on You, especially with our money. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Stand with us.
Yeah.
thank you for being here this morning. If you are a member, I invite you to stay for just a few minutes. It's our quarterly business conference. But for all of us as we go out those doors, I pray that this week we be ever mindful of where money needs to be in our life, in perspective of being reminded that it's not ours, it's God's. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for allowing us into your house. And Father, as we leave this place, let us be more like you than when we came in. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.